Randy, just listening to what you just said, I want to say I'm sorry that you're going through that, and I know everything's a part of God's plan and His will, and so I'm glad that you're grieving well. I've got a
Thank
loved one
you.
in my life who is going through colon cancer, and he's gonna be departing probably relatively soon. And so I was wondering if you had any advice on how to encourage those going through that, and those around him, or how to be there for them in a tangible way,
Yeah, great question. Well, I think more than anything, to be centered on the Lord and trusting in His love, His grace, and His sovereignty. I think of the books that I've written that helped prepare Nancy and I for this process. And when I say that, I don't just mean what the books say. I mean the process of researching and thinking through those issues. And Nancy and I would always talk about whatever I was writing on. So I wrote a big book called If God is Good on the Problem of Evil and Suffering. Then there's four or five spin-offs, and that's the way that I work. I write a big book, then I write smaller books that spin off from the bigger book, having already done the research. I had put so much time into the problem of evil and suffering. I solved that problem, by the way. There's no concerns about that anymore. So just read the book. But I mean, that's the ultimate problem, of course. No solution except in the mind and perspective of God. But that's where we have to trust, because that's the thing that holds back. It's not only the primary problem that unbelievers have with the Christian faith. It is the primary struggle of believers who are seeking to walk with Christ and who say, well, I'm supposed to trust God. He says all things work together for good. I can't believe this could ever work out together for good. So I would say one thing is it's trust. It's looking at God and saying, Lord, I think that there's only one answer that's bigger than the question, why all the suffering and evil? And that answer is Jesus. And I think what people have got to do is look at Jesus. And what I say to people is look at the scars in his hands, because if you don't look at the scars in his hands and feet, you're not going to get it. You'll always believe, okay, well, God's sovereign and all powerful, and he's off there in a corner of the universe, and he's not touched by this. He's not suffering. He's not dealing with evil in his daily life the way I am, so he's irrelevant to me. When in fact, the greatest suffering by far that ever happened in human history was in Jesus. I don't mean simply the crucifixion. I mean, crucifixion's a horrific way to die, but other people were crucified. But what I mean is, no one else ever took upon him the sins of the world. The estrangement, the alienation from his father, my God, why have you forsaken me? The triune God made that decision for us because he, corporately, they together made the choice of love and grace to do something beyond belief in some ways. The redemptive work of Christ, by far the greatest thing that has ever been done in the universe. Nothing begins to compare. And so what I say to people sometimes, and this is what I say to your, what was it, a relative,
Close
who was it?
family friend.
What's that?
A close family friend.
A close friend of the family. Family friend, yeah. What I would say is, trust him. And whenever you're tempted to not trust him, just imagine him one day, stretching out his hands when you meet him face to face, and saying, I know you struggled with whether or not I loved you or whether or not I cared, and then, just kind of picture him putting those hands out and saying, do these look like the hands of a God who does not care? And to me, that's the key.
Thank you so much.